You know what that theme song means? It's time for Chris Fabry Live for Wednesday, December the 30th, almost to the end of 2009. And do we have a great conversation for you today? Are you plagued by that green-eyed monster? Do you struggle with jealousy? Mwahaha. Now, before you say, nah, that's not for me, I'm going to go listen to music or something, stay with us. You may be surprised. Let me put it another way. Do you struggle with living with unmet desires? Do you have something in your life that you would say, like we said the other day, if only I had this, then I would be fill in the blank. I would be happy. I would be fulfilled. Maybe you see in your life an underlying anger problem or bitterness or relationship struggles that spring up from some place that you don't understand. Stay with us. The book that we're going to talk about is written mainly for women, but I really identify with the subject matter. And I hope you'll be here as we launch into another eye-opening discussion. Here's our team. Tricia McMillan is here today. Didn't have a doctor's appointment. She's right there in the saddle. And she is our producer. Eric Hufford is right there in the saddle. He is our engineer. Josh Kloss is right there in the saddle. He's answering your calls at 1-877-LIVE-675. Right there in the cradle. Just pick it up. 1-877-548-3675. You'll find more information about our program and our guest and our topic at chrisfabrylive.org. chrisfabrylive.org. Last name, F-A-B is in Fab. F-A-B-R-Y. chrisfabrylive.org. Here's an email from Swainsboro, Georgia, just before the program. Your show is a special blessing, and so are all the people who call. As I listened to your callers yesterday on 1229, yeah, that was yesterday, I smiled because I had something in common with all of them. I think that's how God connects the dots spiritually in the body of Christ. One thing I have learned so far is to wait on the Lord, and that His time is not our time, and His ways are not our ways. I'll try to be brief. A while ago, I gave up smoking. What if I hadn't? And I started a new addiction, running. At first, I ran for fitness, then competition. Now, a few years later, I love this, I run more slowly, and the Lord has given me a street ministry. When someone is directly in my path, I stop and ask, and first of all, if you're a runner, you don't even stop for stoplights, you know? You're stopping. If you have to stop, you're still running, if you're a real runner, right? Okay. So here's this runner who's in competition and doing all this. And if there's somebody in the path, I stop and ask, how can I pray for you? Then I ask, where are you going when you die? Last week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Christmas Day, I prayed with three different men to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. As salvation is a gift, it is the best gift to receive, especially on Christmas Day. May God continue to bless you and your ministry. Well, may God continue to keep your legs moving and stop you when you need to stop. That reminds me of something that happened to me yesterday, and I didn't know where to insert this or if I could this week, but I think it goes right in here. I had a fellow approach me. I was at a gas station. I had to my daughter bought a bird, and there were some health concerns, as if we needed more. I think the bird was actually just distressed. It was a little depressed being in our house. And so we went to the bird psychologist, and on the way back, we stopped at this gas station, and I was getting gas in my son's car. Now, my son's car is not our best car. In fact, it's lucky to have all four tires on it. And I had not shaved since Christmas, and I need a haircut. And I won't be brutal with this, but it's Tucson. I'm wearing a T-shirt and shorts. And I hear from across the parking lot of the gas station, "Excuse me, sir." And when I hear those three words, I know what's coming next. I have never been in a parking lot at a grocery store or the gas station. I've never been there and had somebody from outside coming toward me saying, "Excuse me, sir," not ask me for money. So I know what's coming. "Excuse me," but I did not expect this. "Excuse me, sir, I'm trying to get my mother on a bus, and we're 50 cents short. Can you help?" And I said, I wasn't lying. I said, I don't have any change. I got a nickel back from the bird trip, and I had a dime. I don't have 50 cents. Sorry. And he kind of grimaced, and I thought, I looked at him, and he didn't look like, you know how you pigeonhole people, how you think they are supposed to look if they ask you for money on the street. And I thought, you know what you should do is come over here and pump the gas. I'll go get the 50 cents for you because I look worse than you do. And there was a fellow getting propane just across the way. And he said, here you go. And he gave him the 50 cents and he turned around and he went to the bus stop, and the bus stop is covered, so I couldn't see it. So you couldn't really tell if his mother was back there, but what's he going to buy? You know, what's he going to use 50 cents for? I don't know if she was there or not. But as I was processing all of this, I felt that in a way I had let somebody down, and I didn't know who it was. Maybe it was the guy who needed the money. Maybe it was his mother. Maybe it was the fellow over there who was watching me. Maybe it was my daughter in the car. Maybe it was the bird, come to think of it. Maybe it was God himself who had given me the chance to do something and I didn't. And then maybe I think, you were smart for keeping your 50 cents. Now, I probably could have found a dollar, and I could have just given him a dollar, but I didn't do that. And there was a little part of me that thought, there's something that this fellow who was getting the propane did that I could have done. There's something that I missed there. And I started feeling this twinge of, he's the one who got the good feeling, and I'm left here driving away with nothing. Actually, worse, I feel bad that I didn't do anything. Now, 100 of you don't have to email me and tell me I was right or wrong. I'm going through this myself, and God can take care of that. I use that just as a precursor to what we're going to discuss today, because I don't feel like I'm a jealous person. And if you were to ask me, hey, let's do a Bible study on jealousy, I'd say, no, I don't need that. Give me an attribute of God. Let me study that, or study who I am in Christ. Encourage me in some way. I don't want somebody to point out another sin that I don't see. I mean, that's just depressing. Sean Lance was with us some time ago, and we talked about her book, Congo Vignettes. She grew up in the Congo. And actually, if you listen to Focus on the Family on Christmas Day, you heard her voice. She was the very last caller on Focus on the Family on Christmas Day, talking about what Christmas was like in the Congo on the first year. She went there when she was 10, the first Christmas there, and there was no Christmas tree. And I'll get her to tell you about that. But she has written a Bible study about this topic of the unmet needs in your life, living with unmet needs. And it basically is the whole topic of jealousy that I think we can just throw out the window and say, that's not me. Don't do that. Let's take our first break, Eric, here. We'll come back and we'll get started with Sean Lance on Chris Fabry Live.
Have a comment about the program today? Call 877-LIVE-675. Stay with us. Chris Fabry Live will continue in a moment.
If you're a dad, there are some little eyes watching every move that you make.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey for Wednesday, December 30th.
I would say that too often I say do as I say and not as I do, which is not something that I'm thrilled about. I'm certainly more aware of how I say things as well as do things.
If all the world's a stage, as Shakespeare said, then I'm convinced that every dad is constantly in a spotlight, doing a one-man play for an audience that never leaves the theater. Children always watch their daddy, and they don't miss a thing, whether daddy wants them to or not. A wise man once said, "What a man is determines what a man does." If you're a father, you need to realize your children are watching you. What habits do you have that need to change? If you're about to be a father, you would do well to begin the process of becoming the man your family will someday look up to. One final thought. Consider asking your spouse or a friend that you respect, what qualities need to be changed in your life? Keep in mind that you're in a spotlight in front of your children. It's important you model the right thing. I'm Dennis Ramey, and that's Real Family Life.
The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week is found in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
Thanks a lot for joining us for Chris Fabry Live. Here's our number. Write it down. 1-877-LIVE-675. 1-877-548-3675. Shawn Lance is our guest. S-H-A-W-N is her first name. She is founder of Asengo Ministries. You can find out more about her at her website, chrisfabrylive.org. I told you we were talking about her book about the Congo. She moved there when she was 10 years old. She now lives in Nashville, Tennessee. She was in Chicago for the Christmas holiday and beyond. And so she said, hey, I'll come down to the studio in Chicago. So, Sean, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me.
Her new book, a study, is called Living with Unmet Desires. It's out now. And we could talk about so many different things. Christmas and jealousy, I see it in my kids. How it rears its head in the church and all that kind of stuff. Let me just read this, what you write here. You say, jealousy is not the problem. Jealousy is a symptom of a broken heart. There are places emotionally and physically that I have not been able to empathize with in my life experience. Jealousy, however, has been something in which I have been both a perpetrator and a victim, even at the same time. Explain that. How has Shawn Lance been jealous in her life?
Well, Chris, I think one of the most amazing discoveries that I have made is someone is always prettier. Someone is always wealthier. Someone is always doing what I would like to be doing. And I remember moving into our home in Nashville and thinking, Lord, if you give us this home, I will never ask for anything else. This is it. And well, that lasted about, 6 weeks. And it just, you start noticing lacks in other areas. You can receive what you thought was going to be the thing that satisfied you once and for all. And the longer that I walk through this journey called life, the more I realize that living with unmet desires is just a part of being a human being. And there will always be something that someone else has that will catch my eye. And if I am not careful, I will soon be on a slippery slope toward that consuming me. And I will believe the lie that if I could only attain that, yes, I would be happy.
And it can only, a lot of people say, well, I don't look at other people's houses and I don't look at the cars and that kind of thing. And they're being honest with themselves. Here's what happened to me. I remember how long it took for me to go down the publishing road and to really want to write something that would move people and that somebody would actually buy and publish. And when I had my very first book, it was 1995, I remember the parking lot, and I went to the publisher. It was there in Wheaton, Illinois, InterVarsity Press. And I went in, and I got my first box of books, 50 books in a box, part of the contract. And I took it out to the car, and my wife and my kids were there. And I opened it up, and I pulled it out, and it was the first time I'd seen the cover on the actual book, and all that kind of stuff. And I looked at it, and my first thought was, I wonder when the next one will come out. I wanted another, you know, because one is just not enough.
Yes.
Do you identify with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think for me, it's what I say or what I mean by it's a symptom of a broken heart. The wonderful thing that the Lord allowed me to discover in writing this, first of all, I, like probably many who are listening today, said, Lord, I have these feelings that are very ugly, and I am a believer, and I love you with my whole heart, and I want your will for me. I want life to count here for you. What do I do with these feelings of envy towards someone else? And in my search for answers, that's how the study probably came about. It's my own story, Chris. And yeah. I've heard tell your story, and people will identify with that.
Yes.
And so that is what I've tried to do, just be transparent in feelings.
Okay, well, let me stop you there.
Sure.
To my beloved friend and sister-in-law, Karen, you and I have been in each other's lives since I married your brother almost two decades ago. And then you say, the Lord has healed what used to be broken between us. Is that part of this whole process?
Absolutely. You know what's so funny, Chris? I never wrote that with the intention of, you know, making people kind of stop in their tracks after they read that. It's a dedication. And it's so funny because many people have zeroed in on that. I think probably because it's in the beginning of the book and it's something that's rather short that they can read. But yes, what has happened between my sister-in-law and me is nothing short of miraculous. We started out as wonderful friends. We were married in the same year and did a lot of things together as couples with our husbands. And then, you know, life creeps in, and someone bought a house first, and someone got pregnant first, and without us realizing what was happening, there was a competition that was set up subconsciously, and really, it started to unravel a beautiful thing that was between us. This went on for years. And,
now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So you never really consciously thought, I'm jealous, or she didn't think of you, I'm jealous of her. Were there underlying things that started to creep out, though, anger types of things that you knew?
I would say so. I can't speak for her, but yeah, the anger, the bitterness, the not wanting to be together anymore. You know, it got so bad that we would just see each other when family would come in from out of town. And I don't know, you know, maybe some of the listeners can identify with that. Christmas can be a very stressful time when it's the time when we get together because that's what we're supposed to do. And commercials, you know, they give us this false sense of, isn't this wonderful, and it's Christmas, and everybody's happy, and this is harmonious, and real life can be very different. Now, Karen and I were both believers, and yet, and I want to be really careful. Karen's listening. Hello, Karen.
And, hi, Karen. I want to say hi, too.
And we were definitely civil to each other.
Sure.
But just the, I'll let you get in so far. Our relationship will stop right here.
Yes.
And
in a sense, you control it because it's painful to go any deeper.
Absolutely. Well, and you're afraid of what you might uncover and might hear from the other person.
And that is so honest. And I'm so glad to hear. Because you could just say, we had a great time, you know, went there, and this could go on for years, and it probably did go on for years. At some point, you had to come to at loggerheads, though, and you had to deal with your feelings. both of you.
We did. And actually, the way, you know, God is such a multitasker, Chris. The way that it came about, he was so gentle in the way that he eased us into the healing. We decided to become prayer partners over something that was unrelated to our relationship. And for 2 years, on Tuesday afternoons, we had a weekly call together and prayed about a different situation. And can I just tell you, God did just an amazing thing between us. She is a dear, dear friend who I would pick even if we weren't related. And if you could have seen what had transpired before us, we've been married now 16 years, so we've known each other for 16 years. And the last 2.5, she is a sister to me. She is a friend. She's my confidant. She is a prayer partner. If anyone had told me that that was possible before, I would have laughed. I wouldn't have believed it. But we cannot pigeonhole God. We cannot tell him this relationship is impossible and there will never be healing here. Because I have witnessed it, Chris. I am the beneficiary of God's grace in my relationship with a family member that I just so dearly love. And I get to, you know, I get to be with her at Christmas time now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just
well, and
amazing.
There are some people listening who really identify with this because they are in the middle of that. You know, they, but they would never think that jealousy is a part of the problem. They're anger, they're bitter, they're, you know, they have these feelings when you even mention the person, the family member, or there's a friend, and they would never ever connect jealousy with that. Why? How are you able to kind of jump the shark there, if I can use that Fonzie reference?
Yeah, well, you mentioned it in the first thing that you read, which is what I've come to realize is jealousy is a symptom of a broken heart. And so in the first week of the study, what I do is kind of delve into what I believe are the core issues of a jealous heart. Now, the jealous heart doesn't necessarily understand that these are the underlying issues. But what God showed me was that there were 4 major ones, and there may be more. But the ones that I deal with are, 1, God, can I trust you? God, do you love me? God, are you good? And God, are you just? And I believe that Psalm 140, verse 5, talks about how a snare has been laid for us. And I believe that one of the enemy's biggest traps is to have us encounter these amazingly difficult, horrendous disappointments in life. And what we do is believe, well, God, I guess I can't trust you. Maybe you don't love me. If this is your goodness, no thank you. I don't want it. And I don't think you're just, because see how faithful I've been. And, you know, Linda over there gets what I want. Or, you know, it's just, it's so, it masks itself. And that's why the subtitle is, it's exposing the many faces of jealousy. Because I believe jealousy is there, but we just don't always recognize its face.
Yeah. I love this quote from Spurgeon that you use. And this is in one of those sections where you're talking about the trust of God and is he really good. You say, you came across this from Charles Spurgeon. It hits, it hits me in the nail on the head, I think, for all of us. When the Lord finds a saint whom he loves much, he may spare other men trials and troubles, but he certainly will not this well-beloved one. The more beloved you are, the more of the rod you shall have. It is an awful thing to be a favorite of heaven. It is a thing to be sought after, to be rejoiced in. But remember, to be one of the king's council chamber, to be one of the king's council chamber is a thing involving such work for faith that flesh and blood might shrink from the painful blessing. That really does hit it on the head, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And the thing is, Chris, we equate suffering with something that is bad, something that we want to avoid. And I believe what Spurgeon is saying is rejoice in that. Rejoice in suffering, because that means, you know, if you are faithful in your suffering, I'm not talking about, you know, shaking your fist at God and telling him, you know, I don't want you part of my life. But what is so comforting to me is it's a passage in Hebrews that I've gone to over and over again when life just doesn't make sense. And it's out of Hebrews 5. And I actually have it in front of me. I'd like to read it.
Please.
It says, it's verses 7 through 10. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And, you know, Chris, that's not perfection. It says, you know, he was made perfect through suffering. It's not the moral perfection. He is the Son of God. It is the suffering as a human being. He was a man. He was fully God and fully man. So that when Sean Lance goes to Jesus and says, God, what are you doing? Jesus, I don't understand what it is that you're trying to teach me. He says, Sean, I know how you feel, and trust me, this suffering is going to produce beauty in you.
That's Sean Lance. We're going to continue. Do you trust God? Do you believe that he loves you and is good and is just? We'll continue our discussion right after these messages. Stay with us.
Here's Mike Kellogg with Today in the Word devotional.
Thank you, Donna. The church today witnesses no shortage of opponents who vehemently attack traditional Christianity and the notion of God's existence. For example, Richard Dawkins' 2006 work, The God Delusion, which attacks the idea of a supernatural being, reached number 2 on the Amazon.com bestseller list and number 4 on the New York Times list. Likewise, Christopher Hitchens' recent work, God is Not Great, reached number 1 on the New York Times bestseller list. Both of these authors have enjoyed huge success from the scathing critique and mockery of religion in general and Christianity in particular. In light of 2 Peter 3, figures like Dawkins and Hitchens should come as no surprise. Peter declares that in the last days scoffers will come. In particular, Peter mentions those who mock Christians because of the seeming delay in Christ's return. Where is this coming? He promised. Everything continues as it was since the creation of the world, they say. In short, they ridicule the Christian hope and declare God a liar. Peter responds with a clear message, hey, don't forget God's word to the prophets in Christ. It really is trustworthy. Today in the Word, we read 2 Peter 3:8. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Just as God's word was powerful to create the world and then send the flood of judgment, that same word is powerful to one day bring judgment on these ungodly theorists.
Thanks, Mike, for that good reminder from Today in the Word devotional, a presentation of the Moody Bible Institute.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. A U.S. official says as many as 8 Americans have been killed in a suicide attack in eastern Afghanistan. There are conflicting reports on whether the victims were civilian or military. A local police officer says people reported hearing a blast on a military base. Officials in the Netherlands are ordering airport screeners to start using full-body scanners immediately to avoid a repeat of what happened Christmas Day. The Dutch interior minister says the world, quote, escaped a disaster when explosives smuggled aboard a flight from Amsterdam to Detroit failed to bring down the plane. New York police are confirming no explosives were found inside an abandoned van in Times Square. The tourist hotspot had been blocked off to traffic and 2 high-rise buildings were partially evacuated as the bomb squad checked things out. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 14.5 points at 10,530. The Nasdaq is off 4. More details at srnnews.com.
Welcome back to Chris Fabry Live, online at chrisfabrylive.org. We're talking with Shawn Lance today. She is the author of Living with Unmet Desires, Exposing the Many Faces of Jealousy. It's our featured resource at the website, and you can go there, chrisfabrylive.org, link to her website, or you can link to the book. When you go to her blog, you will see a little video, a picture of her, and when she was on Focus on the Family, it was the last call on Christmas Day. That was kind of cool. And she has video blogs there, too, that many people find helpful. This is specifically written for women, but I don't think this is just for women. It's simply because, well, you answer that question. Why is it written for women?
Because I am a woman.
Good answer. But I mean, you're not saying that only women deal with jealousy.
And not at all. And actually, I've had some men say, couldn't you do something that would be for both genders?
Yes.
On this topic. So, yeah. But I started with what I knew first.
It hits right to the heart. Living with Unmet Desires, again, is the title. Most people listening to this would say, if I were to ask them, do you trust God? They'd say yes. Do you think God loves you? Absolutely. I know that. Do you think God's good? Yes, he is. I believe that. Do you think he's just? Absolutely. They would agree wholeheartedly. Do you live with unmet desires? Yes. Do you really trust in God? And do you know that he loves you? Do you experience that goodness and the justness or his justness? Then they would have to say, I really don't. And I think that's what you're getting at here to kind of uncover, right?
Yes. And I think especially for me, I was first a preacher's kid, then I became a missionary kid, and grew up in a home where scripture was exalted. We had family devotions. My parents were they took very seriously the training of their children in the Word of God. And still, Chris, still, I needed to come and wrestle with God myself over these issues. And I can think of just devastating life experiences that all of us have had where we have wondered, God, did you check out?
Yeah.
Are you here? I can't hear you. I can't see you. I can't feel your presence. And so through this study, what I have come to understand is my understanding of God's goodness. Oh, Chris, it falls so far short of what God's goodness is.
Yeah.
And he is the perfect parent. And there is a side of him that disciplines us, that chastens us, that, yes, loves us, yes, fathomless amounts of love. But it's not in the days of sunshine that I ask myself hard questions. It's when the darkness comes, it's when I can't see him, that I have a choice. Well, God, I said that I trusted you. Do I really? And part of me wonders, because see, God can change our circumstances in a second, in a twinkling of an eye if he wanted to. Why doesn't he? Well, only he can know that. But I believe one of the reasons is so that we will know he's the healer. We will know he's the redeemer. We will know that he is the comforter and the provider. And so if the sunshine always lasts, then my flesh might think that I had something to do with that. And that is such a dangerous, slippery slope to be on. Because I can miss life that is real life, the abundant life. And I can continually live in the shadows instead of coming out and experiencing Christ in his fullness and being part, sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Oh, but it is just as Spurgeon says, it is tough work, tough work.
It's day by day. It's one thing to say you trust God when you get a raise. It's another when you get fired.
Absolutely.
Or when they do a layoff, you know.
Absolutely.
It's one thing to trust God when you're pregnant. It's another when you have a stillborn child. Mm. And everybody goes through something, and probably everybody listening to us right now is going through something like that. And to see that then as given by God, or at least allowed by God into our life to bring something forth from it, is such a comfort in the middle of it. And yet if we don't embrace it and don't walk through it, then we don't get the benefit of that. And we're always, like you say, fighting against you. We're wrestling. I want to bring Chuck into the discussion in Hidalgo, Illinois. Hi, Chuck. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, though, I can relate to what Sean is saying, because I have been feeling quite, jealous about being, you know, wouldn't get to do anything, you know, certain things and like that. And I'm just wondering, is there any help for men as well as women?
Good question. Yeah, is there, do you approach this any differently for men than you do for women, Sean?
You know what, Chuck? The Word of God is for absolutely everyone. And this study is... what I wanted to be very careful to do was to bring in scripture. The reason why I say that this is for women is because my life stories, which I weave in the study itself, come from a female perspective. But I believe that the truths and the principles that are in God's word on how to, you know, we're not going to ever, I don't believe, we're never going to come to a place where we say, well, God, I just don't need to trust anymore. I don't need to understand that you're good anymore. I've reached that threshold. I believe when, God calls us home to be with him, and then we will fully know all of those things, but not while we're here on earth. We are strangers and we are aliens in this world. And I believe we try to have it all here, and that is where we get stuck. And because someone, like I said, you know, we believe in the myth that the grass is always greener on the other side of that fence. It just is not so. So, yes, this... The reason why I say that it's for women is simply because it's from a female perspective, but I believe the scripture in the study, and what I love about a biblical narrative, the study is based on the life of King Saul. He was the first king of Israel, and God stepped in and gave Israel what they thought they wanted. They rejected him as king, and they rejected Samuel as the judge over them. And so what is so fascinating and wonderful about seeing a life story played out like we examine over the last 8 weeks, 7 weeks of it, and then the last week we kind of wrap up kind of the antidotes not curing a jealous heart, but combating a jealous heart, is that you are able to put yourself in Saul's position. Or maybe you don't relate to Saul. Maybe you relate to Samuel, who was deposed. And what I love about Samuel is he comes to God with his broken heart. And God says, Samuel, they have rejected me. And I think if we understood, why do people sometimes treat us the way that they do? I think we can take things very personal. I think there are underlying issues that are so much deeper that only God knows that are behind that individual's actions. My job is to trust the Lord with those things that don't make sense, that I look at him and say, I don't see your goodness here, but I know you're good. I know you are. And I'm going to claim scripture. I'm going to claim that truth, that you are good to me. And you, one day it will be revealed, maybe not even here on earth. I might not understand why you led me down this path, but God, I'm going to still continue to trust you. I'm going to believe that you love me, and I'm going to believe that you are just. And if we can do that, then I believe our feet start to come out of that net and we start walking on a path of blessing. Is that hard to do? Oh, my goodness, yes. And, you know, we're going to stumble. We're going to fall down. We're going to realize, oh, I slipped again. But you know what? What I love about Christ is he says, get up. Get up again. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he will not ultimately be cast down. Those everlasting arms are under us, but sometimes we need to jump. Sometimes we need to say, I'm gonna prove this is true. And that is scary. But the reward is amazing when we do that.
And part of the process that you point out is that just recognizing that you have the feelings, which you've talked about, mm-hmm. Chuck, and I really appreciate your call today, just recognizing them, that's the first step. And to be able then to combat them through Scripture, and I know that you deal with Hannah and some other biblical examples in here. I want to get into that. And I also want to encourage you to call us if you identify with what we're talking about, and maybe you're on the other side, like Sean has with her sister-in-law. Maybe you have a situation where you did feel that jealousy coming up, and God somehow dealt with you. I'd like to hear from you today here on Chris Fabry Live. Sean Lance is our guest. Living with Unmet Desires is the book.
Let your voice be heard. Call 877-LIVE-675 now. That's 877-LIVE-675.
From what we understand, there's about 1.5 billion people who have internet access right now, and about 3.3 billion who have cell phones.
How can you help fulfill the Great Commission? I'm Steve Douglas, and Dr. Alan Bieber of Global Media Outreach explains on today's Lighthouse Report.
Recently, we've made some huge strides in cell phone evangelism. But what I want to encourage people is what's coming down the road. In about 2 years, there will be 16 satellites launched, which will circle the Earth over the spots where there's very little wireless infrastructure. That means like from the Sahara to the deepest Amazon and other places that are hard to reach. There will be infrastructure rained down from space, enabling people with cell phones to communicate anywhere in the world. So every part of the planet will be accessible to cell phone, wireless, internet connection.
Alan says mobile phones could potentially get the gospel message into the hearts of billions.
A number of governments and phone companies have what's called the O3B project, which means the other 3 billion. And it is their goal by 2015, so less than 6 years, to have a cell phone in the hands of 5.5 billion people. That's incredible. That means just about every person from teenager up will have a mobile computer in their hand. and we are able to present the gospel to them, and we're going to see increased numbers of people who the Spirit of God is going to lead to the websites, who are going to get connected with our online missionaries, and who are going to become followers of Jesus.
For more information about global media outreach, or to see how you can become involved, visit our website at lighthousereport.com.
Welcome back to Chris Fabry Live, online at chrisfabrylive.org. Living with Unmet Desires, Exposing the Many Faces of Jealousy, is written by Sean Lance. Lives in Nashville. She's up in Chicago on a wintry, wondry day, winter day. And we're talking about this whole idea of jealousy and unmet desires. And I just wanted to point this out, that these, and you do this very well, we are made with these desires. The desires that we have that are unmet are good desires that God plants within us, not necessarily the desire to have what somebody else has, but let's say to have a child like Hannah did, or to name it, a sexual relationship. That's a good desire. God created you as a sexual being. There's one part in your book in the study that says, what do you tend to do emotionally when life starts getting difficult? Circle all that apply. Become depressed. Lose sleep. Become controlling. Overeat. Withdraw emotionally. React with anger. Have little patience with loved ones. Pray more fervently. My guess is that that one is not done more as often as the above. Spend more time in God's Word. Overspend. Turn to addictive behaviors. Usually we seek these unmet desires in an unhealthy way, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes. And I must confess, Chris, the turning to God's Word and praying more fervently, I need to do that more. I need to do that more. And you know what you said, that these are God-given desires. You're absolutely right. And I struggled not so much with infertility, but I experienced two miscarriages. And I remember after my first miscarriage, it was very devastating to me. And I remember looking at other women who were further along in their pregnancies or actually had children around them that I knew I could tell were theirs. And I just loathed them. I don't think that's too strong a word. It just ate me alive inside. Why is she able to be a mother? Why was she able to carry, you know, why didn't her body fail her? Why was she able to carry a baby full term with a healthy pregnancy? And, you know, and then I'd jump into this real judgmental, territory, especially if I could tell she was being impatient with them. Well, I'd never be impatient. I'd always enjoy them. I'd always, remember how much I long for them. Well, ask my kids if I've lived that up to that.
Yeah, and you've got a 13-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Wonderful children. I absolutely adore them. But I think that is the insidiousness of longing and thinking, well, if I can just get that, because my desire to be a mother was eventually fulfilled. And guess what, Chris? I still had this ugly, ugly sin nature inside of me, even though I was pursuing Christ, was pursuing a relationship. I wake up daily and have to say, God, I'm not going to compare myself to so-and-so. Why? Because what you have planned for me is best for me. I think about after the resurrection, and Jesus is on the beach with his disciples, and he asks Peter 3 times, do you love me? And after that, Peter looks at John, And, well, first of all, Jesus says, you know, when you're old, you will lift your arms and men will take you where you don't want to go. And he was talking about his death. And what does Peter do? Oh, what about him, Lord? You know, what about John? And Jesus' answer is, what is that to you? Follow me. Oh, Chris, if I could do that on a daily, an hourly, a minute by minute, sometimes second by second, as the enemy wants to overwhelm me with these thoughts that I need to take captive and make them obedient to Christ, if I would do that, how much sweeter life would be. If I could just say, you know what, Jesus, I will follow you. I will. And it doesn't matter that she has a bigger ministry. It doesn't matter that my name isn't known. It doesn't matter, Lord, that I'm struggling in this area right now because I can give it to you. I don't have to wrestle through this by myself. You tell me I can just cast this burden on you. Why? Because you care for me. Because while you were on earth, you learned to empathize. You know, your flesh, it was cut when they whipped you. When you fell down as a little boy, growing up, you bled. You were hungry. You were thirsty. You were tired. How many times, you know, do we see that Jesus was tired or weary and that he needed to pray? He needed to go off and be alone with his Father. And that is the key. The key is saying, my flesh doesn't want to trust you, but I will. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, please, Father, if it can be, let this cup pass, but not my will, but yours be done. And it's the submission that God delights in. Does it mean he's going to change our circumstances? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
But, I'm sorry.
We had a caller who was like you. There was a sister-in-law situation, and she had a daughter, and she was doing these things with her life that just weren't helpful to her or her daughter, and this caller couldn't have any kids. Mm-hmm. And finally now her sister has cleaned up her life, and they are friends again, and it kind of mirrors your experience as well. There was one caller from Idaho who wanted to know does trusting God ever get easier for you?
I think what happens is, just like our kids, my 13-year-old, I believe, has a history with me. And so he can think back. Now, my mom told me this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it did. And I might not have the timing. It might not happen in my time. But if she says it, I believe she will do all she can to make sure that it happens. I think that's the difference. Not that we're ever going to say, I trust you completely. But yes, Lord, you've done it in the past. You are going to do it again.
And as help my unbelief, I trust you.
Absolutely.
With all the faith that I can muster, but I know it's coming from you. I think this is a great topic. Trust, love, is God good, is he just? Living with unmet desires, exposing the many faces of jealousy. We've been talking with Sean Lance today. Sean, drive carefully out through that snow, and thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris, so much.
And thank you for joining us. Chris Fay, Real Lives production of Moody Radio in Chicago. Tomorrow we're going to ask you, what is your life verse? Do you have one? Do you want to share it with us? I hope you'll join us then.